Providence. I'm telling you, most people run into each other here and there, and sometimes you think you're getting the deal and you ain't. Carrie sent me a picture on my phone. Y'all might have seen this. It's so funny. It was a Walmart. I'm not saying which one, but it was not Morganton. And it had a bunch of stuff here, and it had one of them big rollback, you know, where they put a rollback sign. It says rollback. That means the price has really been dropped. And it said rollback, big letters, $45. And everybody thought, man, there's a deal. And down here, it said regularly $39.95. And they actually did that in the Walmart, Marion. Don't tell nobody I said that. And she said, boy, that's a Marion deal for you right there. Some people probably went and bought that. Somebody made a mistake and said rollback, $45, regularly $39.95. Just because something claims to be cheap, don't mean it's cheap. Just because something, you know, they can put up something that says, wow, get them while they, you know, while they last. And price it way up there. And people think, oh, man, there's a deal right there. So you got to be careful. You get ripped off. I'm not gonna stay out all day to save $5. I'd rather have spend $5 than stay out 3 or 4 more hours. I really have. My 3 hours is worth more than $5 to me. I know people. Oh, Brother Ray, I used to get so tickled at him. Brother Ray, he would, if he found out gas was 2 cents cheaper in Lenore, he'd drive over there and fill up. And I said, Brother Ray, I said, it takes you 30 minutes, and, you know, it takes you an hour to go over there and back, and you don't save $2. I don't care. I'm going where it's the cheapest. But my time's more valuable. He probably spent $1.50 worth driving over there and back. So I know people that'll fight you for a bargain and push people out of the way, and people getting fights and. I heard a preacher preaching about it. He said, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you done this? You're in a big hurry. I do this every time. I go to Walmart, and I go down through there looking for which row has the least amount of people in it. Don't you do that? Because I'm in a hurry, but I don't want to stand around all day in line. And I think, well, there ain't but two there, and they've only got a few things. And there's one here, but he's got a big old basket full. And then I see somebody coming. I think, they're going to get in there. And I walk real fast. You know why you're laughing? Because you did the same thing. Walk real fast trying to jump in front of them people so you can get in that line that's only got two. And then I wind up thinking, well, I'm going to go over here at the 20 or less line. I mean, you 20 items, the speedy checkout. Or you're supposed to have 20, you know, stuff, you know, and I go over there and he's just some old woman comes just barely pushing this buggy. And I'm running down through there trying to get in there before she does. And yeah, I feel bad about that. I thought, man, I'm awful trying to jump in front of that old woman. So I let her go first, and you stand there, and then you start counting. 1, 2. She's got 35 things in that buggy. Isn't that awful how we are? Amen. Amen. That's the spirit of Christmas, ain't it? How many of you have ever stood there and thought, now they've got more than 20 things in that buggy. They need to be over in that other one. Ain't we something? Us Americans, boy, we suffer for Jesus, don't we? Oh, Lord, have mercy. We really suffering for the Lord, having to stand in Walmart for 10 minutes in line. But you know something? We need to understand. I talked to a guy today. Talking to a guy today, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "When you give to people, it'll come back to you. When you're good to people and you give to people, it will come back to you. God will see to it." And I'm gonna tell you something else. On the flip side of that coin, if you treat people wrong, it'll come back to you. You do people wrong, you hoodwink and crook them and lie to them, it'll come back to you, buddy. It'll bite you. Amen. One teacher got up and said, why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? And the kid said, I know. And he said, why, honey? He said, because his mama was there. Good answer. That's a good answer, ain't it? That's a good answer. Amen. They said there's 3 periods of life that you go through. The first period, you do believe in Santa Claus when you're little. That's the first stage of life. You believe in Santa Claus. The second stage of life, you don't believe in Santa Claus. The third stage of life, you are Santa Claus. And some of you about that part right now, you know, where you have to start buying. But anyway, what a blessing. What a blessing. One teacher asked the kid, said, do you believe in the devil? Y'all believe in the devil? One little boy said, yes, sir, we do. And she said, why? And the kid said, because the Bible says, and the kid said, no, I don't believe in the devil. And she said, why? She said, he said, it's just like Santa Claus. It's your daddy. That's bad there. So we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, you know, and I know you hear a lot about it right now, but I don't think any of us ever comprehended or heard it preached enough to where we can really grasp what a blessing and miracle that was. In Matthew chapter 2, we'll look at that verse again this evening. So now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, look at 2:1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. In the days of Herod the king, in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east towards to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Don't miss that. King of the Jews. He came to his own, and his own received him not. There was no church then. The church began there at the end of his life, ministry, and the book of Acts, when the Lord breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost came and spiritually circumcised those people and put them into the body of Christ. The church began. When he was born, he came to the Jews. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He said, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Let's think about that birth this evening, just for a few minutes, one more time, and we'll be done with it for this year, I guess. But the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a lot more, y'all, than just a sweet little baby story. Matter of fact, it wasn't a sweet little baby story. It was a mess. I mean, it was an old, dirty, stinking stable. Can you imagine? There was, as far as we know, there was no way to clean up. Clean up Mary there was no hot water, as far as we know. There was no way to have sanitary, as we would look at it. I mean, cows, no sheep, no telling what. They're in the state. It wasn't like the sweet little donkeys were smiling and they smelled good and stuff. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And he came as in the lowly situation like that. Why'd he do that? Let's keep your Bible handy. And the first thing I want to say is Jesus was born, number one, to fulfill Scripture. To fulfill Scripture. You see, it don't matter if it hair-lips Grandma and the United Nations blows up tomorrow, the Scripture will be fulfilled. Whatever God said is going to happen. Now, I've been teaching you this on Wednesday night. We're going to get into it stronger sometime. You've got to remember that your Old Testament basically is a history book. The history of God's dealing with one nation, and that's those Jews. A Jew in the Bible is anybody who is a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are those that try to teach otherwise now. They do not get their information out of the Bible. All this Zionist, British, Israelites, Palestinians, all of them claiming to be Jews. The Lord said, I know them which claim they are Jews and are not. But a Jew in the flesh is a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 7, and let me show you something here. Now, the reason I said all that was God said, have you ever read through that Old Testament and wonder why he says the locusts are going to come in here and they're going to eat your crops up and this priest is going to die and then you're going to be carried away captive and then after you're brought back captive, I will again rebuild Jerusalem and I will do... You know, why does he include all that stuff? Why do we need to even know about all that? Why does he say, and it came to pass after that that King so-and-so went down here and they were taken in the battle, come over here and King so-and-so did this. All that stuff was prophesied. And then prophets said, I will sell Jerusalem into the hand of the Midianites, and I will sell Jerusalem into the hand. And you know what? It happens. All that stuff happens. So here's why he puts it in there. He puts all of that history in there and then sticks something religious in, like Isaiah 7. Look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Look at Isaiah 7:14. And Jimmy, got that? Read that real big and loud, the first part of it. All right, hold it. Look at that verse right there. That was 700 years before it happened, folks. 700 years before it happened. That's a prophet. You don't find other religious... Did you know no other religious books do that? Did you know you can read any book on any other religion in the world? They ain't going to make no statement like that. Behold, a virgin will conceive? That's impossible. And the child that's born is going to be Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. Think about that. 700 years before it happened. So the point you want to get is this. It's history, 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 history. And then he sticks something religious in there. It's battles, wars, destruction, famines, pestilence. Oh, and then he sticks something in there like a virgin shall conceive. You know why he does that? Because you see all them other battles and stuff happening, and you know that's true, so that's true too about that virgin being born. If he's right on that other stuff, he's right on this. You know what that means? When he said a person's going to go to hell and burn forever, he's right on that too. So if you're, listen, somebody's going to wind up in hell burning forever, y'all. I mean, and if he promised somebody they're going to eternal life, you got eternal life. We know the religious promises are true because all those literal promises came true. It's a book that never misses it. He said, I'll bring them in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and I'll do this, and I'll destroy, and Babylon shall, then they'll run over the holy city for 70 years and 70 weeks, and this and that's determined, and that's determined, and it happens. So when it says, a man's going to have scarred, and he's going to have his back to the smiters, and he's going to make his grave with the wicked, you better be sure that's going to happen too. And when he said he rose from the dead, that happened too. And he said he's coming back again, that's going to happen too. If all the other stuff happens, the rest of it's going to happen. That's why the Bible's different from any other book on the planet. There is no book that predicts a future like that. And he fills it 80% history and 20% religion. So when you see all the history come to pass, you know the 20% religion. I'm just guessing at those figures. But there's a lot of stuff in there like the history of God dealing with one nation, the Jew. The Jew, Israel, Hebrews. And so Jesus was born to fulfill that scripture. Did you know the scripture foretold that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? You know that? The Bible said that back, I think, way back yonder in the book of Micah. Did you know the Bible said, okay, was he betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? Yes. Now there's another scripture that says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. That ain't happened yet. And some of them prophecies in the Old Testament, they would prophesy the first coming and the second coming all in the same verse. And you know why? Because the church is hid from the Old Testament prophets. They looked right over top of it. Like, let's say that this is the first coming of Jesus, this part. This is the second coming of Jesus. Or better, this microphone would be the second coming of Christ in prophecy. This would be the first coming. This would be the second coming. And the prophets, when they would prophesy, they were Jewish, they prophesied and said, behold, he have come riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass. First coming. Right? Yeah, that happened, literally. And then it said something like, and he'll take vengeance on his enemies. And all that. Second coming. And they'd have the first coming and the second coming right in the same verse. And guess what's in here hid? The church. Paul said it was the mystery hid from the ages before that. The mystery of the church was revealed to the Apostle Paul. The Gentiles being saved, that God will accept Gentiles, and the church is in between the first coming and the second coming. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 61 there just a second. And let me show you something. I wasn't planning on getting into this, but since I'm in it, let me just look here at Isaiah 61 here just a second. And I'm not positive I got the verse I want, but I think I do. Isaiah 61, let's see here. You want to see some prophecy? And let's look at this. Let's see. Isaiah 60. Rise and shine, for thy light has come. That would be... yeah, there it is. Look at Isaiah 61. The Lord, that's first coming. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Of God is upon me. That's what Jesus said when he stood up in the temple to read. 700 years before it happened, people. Look at that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel of good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. First coming. Proclaim liberty to the captives. First coming. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. First coming. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Second coming. You see them two little dots after bound, the word bound? That's 2,000 years that me and you are living in right now. That's the church age. That happened between, the church was hid from the Old Testament prophets. They couldn't see it. God did reveal it. He revealed the mystery of the church, the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. We ain't got time to get into all that tonight, but the reason Jesus was born was to fulfill the Scripture. There's a bunch of them like that, where he'll say the first coming and the second coming all together. Where if you didn't know better, see, that's why the Jews thought he was going to set up his kingdom the first time. That's what they thought. When he said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bam! Now, if you really want to get technical about it, if the Jews, if, had accepted him, he would have set up the kingdom. But he didn't. It didn't happen that way. So God had it fixed. The free will of man, he can reject him or accept him. He came to his own received him not, and he went back to heaven, and now Paul, the apostle, got saved, and God stuck in a 2,000-year going out of business sale, brother. Whosoever will can just come in right before he comes back and smashes everything one of these days. And I'm done going to get preaching there if I ain't careful. But I'm telling you what, brother, when that book right there says something, you better get out of the way or get lined up with it, because it'll smash you. It'll run right over you. It's like a freight train. Nothing the UN. There's nothing the United States. There's nothing Russia. There's nothing Japan. And that's going to do about it. When God said it, boom, it'll come right on through. The old saying is, you can't beat them, join them. You better take that philosophy with the Lord. You ain't going to beat him. You better join him. I know my match, buddy. I know when I'm beat, and I'm beat with him. I'm on his side. Count me on his side. Amen. These fools going around now. I heard, I've been doing a little studying for a special message next week at youth camp. And I'm going to give some signs of the times and stuff. And somebody sent me a video, my buddy from Tennessee over there. And it showed old Bill Maher. He said one of the most blasphemous things about Jesus on the cross I ever seen in my life. I thought, good Lord, man. How could a person say some of the things they said? And I can't say what he said, but it was basically this. The Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus were sissies because they didn't punch his eyes out on the cross. That's basically what he said. I'm telling you, son, buddy, I wouldn't be in that man's shoes when the Lord comes back for all the money in this world. All the money in this world, people. Buddy, this world's deceived, going to hell 90 miles an hour. Some of you kids go to school, work with people who claim to be atheists, and all that, it doesn't matter what they say, how much they laugh, what books they've read. Somebody, I forgot who it was. Somebody said the other day, have you heard this stuff about, they're saying now that the earth couldn't be a young earth, is what, you know, what the Bible teaches. The earth in its present form is young. And they say, well, it couldn't be because how could we see stars that are a billion light years away. You understand that? how could we see stars that are a billion light years away? In other words, it would take a billion years for that light to get here where we can see it. So if it's only been here so many thousand years, how could we see that? That's the reason. And that's a worldly way of looking at things. God could fix it. Listen, God could make you see something 10 billion light years from now in 2 seconds if he wants to. It's no problem for the Lord. And let me ask, if they think that's a problem, let me ask them one. If there ain't no God, where did them stars come from? They got here by themselves? They talk about the holes in our belief. Lord, their whole belief's a hole. Everything, listen, if there ain't no God, where'd everything come from, people? If there's no God, where'd everything... You know what that means? There is a God. And he's here tonight, Shining Light Baptist Church, with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's Merry Christmas. It's time to worship him. Amen. That's right. You know why the Lord came? To fulfill that scripture. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Government's going to be on his shoulder. That ain't happened yet. How do we know it is? Because all the other stuff did. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. 30. Not 20, not 10. I said something the other day. Did you know that they're always wondering about whether or not we're going to stay on the gold standard? They said, well, maybe the time will come when we'll go off the gold standard. Uh-uh. In the last days, in the tribulation. It said their gold and silver will be cankered. The rich man will pay. It's always going to be gold. Men's always going to be fighting over gold. Because there ain't nothing in the world like gold. Silver, I guess, is second. But maybe some of you financial geniuses can help me with this. I don't pay no attention either because I ain't got no silver or gold. We got paper. That ain't nothing. Paper ain't nothing but a piece of paper. Man said, well, I got plenty of it saved up. Well, you can't eat it. I mean, when food goes out, buddy, there's where your problem's going to be. You can't eat gold. You can't eat money. There ain't no food. And they said them German marks, when the economy went flat, they was wallpapering their walls with the German marks. That's what you'd be doing with dollar bills before it's over with. Make pretty wallpaper for the baby's bathroom or bedroom. But did you know gold, you see all these commercials now about silver. Buy silver, buy silver, buy silver, buy silver. I know a man's a friend of mine, that he bought $100,000 worth of gold. He's got quite a bit of money, and he ain't never given me a dime. He said he bought $100,000 worth of gold several years ago. Help me with this. When you buy $100,000 worth of gold, you don't really get it, do you? I mean, you actually get it in your hands? What do you do with it? Or I thought you just transfer your money somewhere and you was guaranteed to own that much. What are little bitty blocks or something like Reese cups? A gold bar. Man, one gold bar that big costs you some money, brother. It's $18. I mean $1,800 an ounce. Huh? He does. Where does he live? We'll all go over to his house after church. Yeah. That's the way it goes. That's why he's got it. That's why it goes. Do what, brother? Yeah. Diamond. Yeah, I know it. I've heard that. You have to be real careful hitting them things. You heard about these guys that they work in diamond mines and stuff, and they'll find one that big or something, and you study it and study it and study it and study it and study it for days to hit it just right to where it'll break right. But the Bible don't mention diamonds. I mean, but it says precious jewels. So I'm assuming it means diamonds and rubies. But Heaven's Gates ain't got diamonds in, does it? Pearl. And then other stuff. Chrysoprasus. And old sardius and topaz and stuff like that. Go ahead, brother. You're talking about the New Jerusalem in Revelation. And the streets can be made out of gold. You know, they ain't no more gold now than they was when the Lord first made it, right? I mean, we've just been fighting. It's just inflation. They claim it's up there in Vane Mountain in Marion. I don't know. That's what I've heard all my life. These people goes down there every day and hunts it. Down there below Glenwood. Down there where they live. They ever find any more gold down there, Phyllis? Jen's got it stashed up there somewhere. Did what? Was it? Do they still hunt it up there, don't they? Well, anyway, there's probably some up there somewhere. If you found the right place to dig, Lord have mercy, if you dig your whole life before you find luck up and find a piece of it. But the streets in heaven are gold. The streets, people. We're going to walk on it like dirt. Sorriest thing up there. And the gates will be a pearl. And a pearl is not just it's an organism. It's alive. It's not like every other precious stone. Pearl's alive. And that's the church. Picture of the church. It's formed by suffering. The church, a pearl is. In an oyster, you know, it's formed, it irritates it, forms a pearl. That's one more reason you know the Bible's true. Stuff like that. Well, he's betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, not gold. Cut out there, bro. Something happened. Didn't even give first class for him. Isn't that something? It not only told that, it told where he would be born. Micah 5:2. Bethlehem. The Messiah had to have a birthplace. He had to be born somewhere. There was three continents at that time people lived on: Europe, Asia, and Africa. Known to the ancient world, Asia was chosen. Asia has many countries. Palestine has three districts: Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Judea was chosen. Judea had many villages, and Bethlehem was chosen. Isn't that something? Smack right on it, buddy. Right what that scripture said. Thank God. I'm glad for that. Amen. That he was born to fulfill scriptures. Listen, we're about out of time, but let me remind you that he was not only born to fulfill scriptures, he was born to reveal to us the Father. People had always wondered, what's God like? You know, the Ten Commandments, you know, and you've heard all that stuff about in the Old Testament. No man can see God and live. Let me help you with something here just a minute ago. How many of you have ever heard all of your life, if you can't see God and live, and then sometimes the Bible would say, so-and-so seen God, I've seen God, and you wondered, my goodness, I thought if you seen God, you died. Well, you can remember that Moses was the only man, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Old Testament that God said, I speak to face to face. All them other people were seen the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. And said, I saw the Lord. They saw the angel. I heard Dr. Ruckman say on one of his studies, he said, if you seen God in His essence, you couldn't, it burn your eyes out. You know, I mean, He made the sun, and you can't look at the sun. And He made it. You couldn't see God in His glory and live. If you got 100,000 miles closer to the sun, you'd probably burn you up. Good night, you go to Florida and you can't hardly stand it. That's just a little bit closer to the equator. You imagine going way closer to the sun, man. It'd fry you in no time. So that's why I said you can't look upon God and live. And Jesus Christ came to earth to show us who God is. He was God in flesh. He was God, brother, in flesh. He wasn't like Muhammad. Listen, Muhammad, I know this goes out all over the world. Muhammad was a sinner like anybody else. He had sinful blood. So was Buddha. So was any other religious leader. So am I. So was a pope. So was you. So was Mother Teresa. Jesus was God in the flesh. He had God's blood flowing through His veins. I'm telling you what, man, that makes the Christmas story. I said one time years ago, back during World War II, the man had gone off to the war, and the kids growing up didn't even know their daddy. Little kids growing up. And they're sitting around the supper table one day, and they're looking, and the kids would say, "Mama, is that daddy's picture on the wall?" And she'd say, "Yes, son, that's your daddy." And they said, "Mama, is that daddy, the way he looks?" And she said, "Yep, that's daddy." And one day she said, "Son, what's wrong?" And he said, "I just wish my daddy would step out of that picture and come here where I could see him." You know, that's exactly what Jesus did. God, in the Old Testament, it just showed a picture of him. And son, he stepped out of that picture, came to Bethlehem's manger, and showed us what God's like. If you don't know what God's like, look, study Jesus. If you don't know the nature of God, study the Lord Jesus Christ. You know he has attributes. You know what God's great attributes is? You know what his greatest attributes is? He's holy. Before he's anything else, he's holy. But the people say, "God, I don't want an old hateful God that hates." God hates sin, but let me tell you something that's above his hate is his love. He's holy first, then he's love, then he hates sin. Hate is not his main attribute. Holiness is, and then his love. You know what I'm teaching y'all tonight? Sound doctrine. You know, most people in the world don't even know what we just studied here tonight. It gets your head straight. You think right. God is holy first. Then He's love. Then He hates. And then He has compassion and stuff like that. But His holiness is first. And Jesus showed us that. Good night. I ain't got time to get into all of that. But you know why else Jesus was born? He was born to save sinners like me and you. He born to fulfill that scripture. He was born to reveal the Father. And He was born to save sinners. Thank God. You know, if God hadn't have gave His Son, I was thinking this morning, I was running, it was raining, and I was thinking, and I could feel, when it's raining, I mean, I can't cover my face up. I can't stand it. So I just let it hit me in the face. And I was thinking, God gave His Son. God gave His Son. God gave His Son. God gave His Son. And I thought, if He hadn't have gave His Son, and He said, "I'll save you and I'll give this," what could He give? Everybody a bunch of money? Cattle on a thousand hills? He owns everything. If He'd have done that, people said, "It ain't no sacrifice to you. You can just make more cows. You can make more gold. You didn't give nothing." But buddy, when He gave that Son, His only begotten Son, He sacrificed there. If it had been anything else, people would have said, "Well, that ain't nothing to God. I mean, He could make more trees and cattle and flowers. He gave everybody a whole world by themselves. Ain't nothing to Him. He could make 10 billion worlds with the Word." But He gave that Son, buddy, and that showed His love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Man, I'm telling you, that's the story of all stories. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Man, give His Son, buddy. That's love. His only begotten Son. Amen. All right. Anyone have a question or a comment? If you're here tonight and you're a sinner, He came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? You qualify for salvation. People say, "Well, I ain't a sinner." Ain't no hope for you then. There's only hope for sinners. He came to save sinners. If you're a good person, you have no hope. Amen. He came to save sinners. I qualify. Don't you? Count me in, Lord. I get in. I'm a sinner. Lord of God, He's the Savior. I'm a sinner. Hallelujah. I get in. That's a blessing, y'all. That's the good news. That's a Christmas story. Anybody else? I tell you what, let's do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you and your family tomorrow and Friday. How many of you will meet with family tomorrow? Most of, how many will meet Friday? Okay, about half and half. When the kids is little, we always make them wait till Christmas morning, but when they grow up, then you start doing it on Christmas Eve, you know. And now they even want you to do it earlier, a day or two. Let me just go ahead and open one of my gifts, and I'll shut up. My wife's already wanting hers, and I'm making her wait till tomorrow night. But anyway, I'm going to pray for your family, you and your family, that the Lord will help you be a witness. So when you're sitting at the table and you're opening gifts and you feel something come up and you say, man, I ought to witness. Say, that's Brother Danny praying for me. Because I'm going to pray that the Lord will put it in you to witness to your family. All right? Let's bow our heads right now and do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest story ever told. Lord, we're glad it's not just a great story, but it's a truth story. Lord, I'm glad that Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Hallelujah. I pray that you'd bless my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray that you'd bless every one of them. Lord, when that time comes here in the next couple of days for them to get to witness to their brother-in-law or their sister-in-law or their mother-in-law or their brother or sister or niece or nephews or somebody, God, put it in their heart and help them not to be ashamed. Help them to be bold. Fill them with the Spirit and give them the right Spirit and help them to say the right words. Have your way in our hearts. Keep everybody safe over the holiday. Bring us all back here Sunday morning for Sunday school, ready to start out a brand new week and end out the old year. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now,